Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I am thankful, I am grateful, and I am truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. I thank God that He woke me up this morning. I thank God that He gave me grace to be able to speak today. And praying that God will give me grace to be able to sing Zion songs today. And the word that God gave me this morning in our prayer before we start today is the word that I needed. And it says, whatever I ask in my name, if in my name you ask, I will do it. John 14:14. And I have to ask. I'm asking for healing. Asking for complete healing to do the work that God has called me to do. You know, I have a busy week this week. I have vacation Bible school and I'm trying to get up to go to Sunday school and just trying to do the will of God. And the cough is kind of comes and goes, but I'm praying for it to be gone completely because I got work to do. It's time to go to work, family. And we know we work for the Lord. And it says, good Father are the one in whom I find every longing of my heart filled. There is not a day that goes by when I don't ask for something. The devil is a lie. Not today. I got work to do. Not today. You got to start speaking it into existence. I am healed in the name of Jesus because I asked God for it. Hallelujah. I do not have. I find my satisfaction in knowing you. Everything else is a perk of relationship. I know that your provision is faithful in every season. I am not a beggar, and you are not stingy. When I ask for bread, you do not offer me a rock. When I'm hungry, you don't present me with a bowl of sand. You are a good father, taking care of your children. I am so grateful to be called one. Give me boldness to ask freely. And a humble heart that receives all you have to give with grace, with confidence. I come to you today, my provider. And the question was, what have you held back from asking God? I'm not holding back from asking for healing. Sometimes we think that when we ask certain things, we're asking for selfish prayer or in self-prayer. I need to be healed. I need to be able to speak. I need to be able to move. I need to be able to do the will of God. So I had to ask for what I needed. And I needed healing. And I need continued healing of my bronchial tubes. I need continued healing of my sinuses. And I need continued drainage of my ears. I need those things from God. And the word God gave me this morning was, but we believe that through the grace of Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. And I believe that. I believe through the grace of Jesus Christ, and I will speak with boldness, and that all things are work for good. Because I know I'm called according to the purpose of God to do his will. So let's get started this morning. Heavenly Father God, I come humbly to the throne, asking you, Father God, for healing of my bronchial tubes, healing of my sinuses, healing of the drainage that is coming in. Lord God, I'm asking for a complete healing of my body, God. Healing of my environment, God. Healing for all things that are working against me, God. I'm asking for healing. And I'm asking for your grace, God. For that I know it is your grace that sustains me. Through the ups, through the downs, through the good, through the bad. So, Father God, I lift this word up to you today. I lift me up to you today. Asking you, God, to increase as I decrease, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, God, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight, God. For you are my strength, Father God. You are my father. You are my friend. You are my best friend. And I give myself away this morning, God, for you to use me for your glory, not my will. But your will be done, O God. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, I thank you for your grace and for your mercy. As I lift up this broadcast, asking that your word go to all that need to hear it on today and every day. In Jesus' name, again I pray. Amen. Giving most honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. I cannot do anything without him, for he is a restorer of my soul. And the word that God gave us in our psalm this morning is this: restore us, O God of hosts. Cause your face to shine and we shall be saved. It's like one of those words you just need and don't know you need it. Restore us, O God of hosts, because your face, cause your face to shine and we shall be saved. You have brought a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations and planted it. You prepared room for it. You caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with its shadow, and the mighty cedars with its balls. You set out her balls to the sea, and her branches to the river. Why have you brought her hedges, so that all who pass by the way pluck her fruit? The boar out of the woods uprooted, and the wild beasts of the field devoured. Return, we beseech you, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see and visit this vine and the vineyard which you with your right hand have planted, and the branch you made strong for yourself. It is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of your countenance. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the son of man whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will not turn back from you. Revive us, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hope. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Ooh, what a mighty word. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. And if you continue in our word this morning, I have just read to you the 80th Psalm, verses 7 through 19. And as we continue in the 81st Psalm, verses 1 through 5, to the chief musician on an instrument of gas, a psalm of Asaph. Sing aloud to God our strength. Make joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Rise a song, raise a song, and strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the lute. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon, on our solemn feast day. But this is a statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob. This he established in Joseph as a testimony when he went throughout the land of Egypt, where I heard a language I did not understand. And as we continue in our proverb this morning, and we are coming out of Proverbs chapter 20, so please join me in Proverbs chapter 20. And we're going to start at verse 16. At verse 16, and it says, take the garment of one who is surety for a stranger. And hold it as a pledge when it is for a seductress. Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth will be filled with gravel. Plans are established by counsel, by wise counsel, wage war. Wise counsel. That's a good word. And it goes in the verse 20. He who goes about as a talebearer receives secrets, for do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Whew. The word of God is all up in stuff. You just got to listen to what God is saying. Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in the deep darkness. An inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. Amen on that one. Proverbs 20 and 19. Do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Flattery is often nothing but a ruse to get someone to reveal information that would better be left unsaid. Information that inevitably makes its way into the public square. You got to be careful who you talk to, who you give your secrets to, who you tell your business to, because you don't want your business in the street. You've got to be careful. But somebody was always in your face, you know, trying to flatter you. Oh, yes or this and yes or that. Be a little bit careful. Be a little bit careful. You give them to God and you keep on moving. We can't all flattery is a two-edged sword. And you have to be very careful because somebody will be coming into your, trying to get into your business. We got to let our business be our business. Whatever your situation, give it to God. Give it to God. And I give this situation my help. I told you, because I needed prayer. You can't get into your high horse box. Can't get into your hearty, I can do it myself, because I've been known to be there. I can do it myself. I can pray. I can do it myself. I don't need, no. We all need each other. Because the devil is busy. Give me a moment. We're going to take a quick break, and I will be back. Keep praying. Keep praying for me as I pray for you. I need you to survive, and I need a quick moment. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Ooh. You know, sometimes you just need a minute and I needed a minute, and I thank you. I thank you all for your prayers. Hopefully I'm sounding a little better. But I knew that was something that just needed to, whew, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just praise with me. Thank you, Lord. You know, you feel that tickle behind your throat, and you know that you're going to cough, and you're like, please, God, not today. Don't allow the sneaky snake to come in today. I got work to do for you, God. And the words of do not say, I will recompense evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will save you. Whew, praise the Lord. Wait for the Lord, and he will save you. And I'm thankful. I'm so thankful for salvation. I'm thankful for the grace of God. I'm thankful this morning that God heard my prayer this morning, that God is with us. I'm thankful this morning that all is working for my good. I'm thankful this morning to know that I can lean on a great God, and that he loves me, and that he cares about me. I'm grateful this morning for your prayers today. I'm grateful this morning that it's all working for good. I'm grateful this morning that you can hear me praising God. I'm grateful this morning that I can speak. And the word of God says diverse weights are an abomination to the Lord, and dishonest scales are not good. Whoo, hallelujah. We got to lift up the word of Jesus today. And as we go into our New Testament word, which is where our title is coming from today, and our today again, one more time, just as our prayer was John 14:14, our answer is, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved. Whatever you ask, whatever you need, you ask for it. John 14:14. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Or whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. And what I ask for is healing. And I know in my heart that the Lord God is listening and he's hearing me by his grace, not my own, by his love, not my own, by everything that comes from him, hallelujah, by prayer and supplication, we are healed. And I'm believing that. I fasted most of yesterday believing God for healing. And I continue to believe God for healing. I continue to lift up the name of Jesus this morning, knowing that his will, not mine, will always be done. So I'm thanking God for your prayers. Thanks to God's family, friends, I thank you. Thank you with my whole heart for your prayers. Because the enemy thought he was getting ready to take over. But God said, not today. Not today. This is my child. And I give her grace. And all I can say is, thank you, God. Thank you, saints, for praying for me. I thank God for this day that he has made. I'm rejoicing in it. Hallelujah. And it says this, now it happened in Iconium, that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude of the Jews and of the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided. part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And then a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them. They became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. And they were preaching the gospel there. You know, it's amazing how folks will go up against their best, the best intentions for them, get mad, get angry at those trying to help them. You know, we already know, and we see it every day. Turn on your television screen, and you will see people vote against their best interests, speak against their best interests, you know, all because of foolishness. I remember when the Affordable Care Act came into place, which is helping people get insurance. And you had people just screaming about Obamacare. I don't want any Obamacare. I don't want the Obamacare. But then when you, what about the Affordable Care Act? Well, that, oh, I want Affordable Care Act. Because they have been put into their mind because if Obama was the president, that they didn't want anything with that. But not understanding that the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare were the same thing. We got to stop being foolish and allowing people to divide us on foolishness. And that's what was going on here at the time. Foolishness. You know, you have these deceitful folks coming in, staring up. Honest people who wanted to be saved, who wanted the grace of God. But because they didn't understand the word, they got it. It was like the demon just came and plucked it up right from them. And then it says in the Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speak. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leapt and walked. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of man." That everything is not some, how do I explain it? Greeks were all involved with idolatry. Everything was dealing with a Greek god or goddess. And so all they could think about was Barnabas. They called him Zeus, which is the head god. And Paul, Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gate, intended to sacrifice with the multitude. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitudes, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good. Give us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And with these things, they could scarcely restrain the multitude from sacrificing to them. And here comes trouble. Then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitude, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting those to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. After that, they passed through Pisidia. They came to Pamphylia. Now, when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attila. From there, they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Now, when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. They had to be refreshed. They had to be renewed. And how do we get refreshed and renewed? That's how we get it. We need to go to church to get into the company of saints so that we all get what we need from God. And as we get into this word from some of the life lessons, and it says Acts 14 and 15, you should turn from these useless things to the living God. God had performed such an astonishing miracle through Paul and Barnabas that the people of Lystra thought the pair must be Greek gods. Paul insisted that they accept for their faith that they were no different from anyone else. In Acts 14 and 19, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Some believe that Paul really did die and was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Regardless, God preserved Paul's life until his time. Paul had more work to do. Paul had work to do, and God spared his life. The disciples prayed, but it was God who answered prayer. Again, what did the word say? Whatever you ask, right? In my name, you ask me for anything, I will do it. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. You know what Jesus said? And in Jesus' name, they asked for Paul's healing, that he would not be dead. And Paul was not, because Paul had work to do. We shall live and not die when we have work to do for the Lord. You got work to do. I got work to do. We got work to do. And we got to get up and go to work. We got things to do for God. And we must never forget who we work for. We work for the Lord. Acts 14 and 22. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. We find spiritual strength and encouragement not only in warm, tender words, but also in words that confront us with harsh realities. The Christian life is at war, and we must never forget. Ephesians 6:10-17. We got to put on that full armor every day because we are at war with the enemy. He wants to stop your praise. He wants to stop your to God. He wants to stop us from trusting that God can and God will heal our bodies. He wants to keep us from knowing that everything will work for good when we trust in the Lord. He don't want you to believe in God. He wants you to believe in him. He wants you to think that he is the one in charge. There is not a devil in hell stronger than our God. Our God is healer. Our God. All circumstances. Our God is faithful. Our God is holy, and he's righteous. And it's a song, worthy is the Lamb who was slain for me. I know that I serve an amazing God. And yes, I will go through. You will go through. We will all go through. But we know that it is God who will see us through whatever we're going through. Whatever your situation, turn it over to God because it is his grace. Come on now. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Paul was saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. When men thought they had killed him, I wonder what they were thinking when they saw him and Barnabas coming back through to go to the faithful, to talk with the faithful, to be there with the faithful. I wonder what they were thinking. But I thought that, kill him. No, God's going to convict you for touching his anointing. And let's keep it going. Acts chapter 15. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised. Now here we go again, another divide within the church. Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about the question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, and describing the conversion of the Gentiles, that they caused great joy all the brethren. They caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago, God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace, and this is our word this month, of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. And after they had become silent, James answered, saying, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles, out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophet agreed, just as it is written. After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things, known to God from eternity are all his works. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses had had throughout many generations those who preached him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. So they said, you know what? The circumcision is in your spirit. Abstain from idol worship and polluted things from the idol. Abstain from sexual immorality and from things that strangled in blood. It's like, why are we trying to make their yoke harder than our own? Because you have to understand, think about this. The Jews weren't, the new generation, let's say, went uncircumcised for 40 years. And that some of them did not get circumcised until they were 40 years old. Some until they were children when they left Israel, when they left Egypt. So, you know, you're putting a burden on someone that, you know, you have so many times we as church bodies get into doctrine that is not in the Word of God. We get into what you got to wear, what you got to have, you cover your head, you got to do this, you got to do that. You can't do this, you can't that, you can't. Until finally you have folks that are so tired of the can't that they forget what they can do. We got what we can do, and what we need to teach is that praising God, prayer, supplication, grace, mercy, all the fruit of the Spirit, we've got to, that's what we need. We need to be kind. We need to be loving. We need to be gentle. We need to have long suffering or just be patient. We need those fruit of the Spirit. We need the fruit of the Spirit. I think we do. We need the grace of God. But instead, we get so caught up in doctrine that we forget how to love each other. We forget the peace and the joy that comes from the Lord. Instead, we get caught up. And he said, she said, they said, woo-woo said, he looked at me wrong. She said, I can't sit there. She can't sit in my seat. That's my seat. I sit there every Sunday. So if you get there late and somebody's in that seat, you better sit someplace else. You don't come and ask a visitor to move because you came in late. Come on now. That's a lot of foolishness. And that's what tears up places. That's what people won't come back. Because they see the foolishness coming out of the people of the church. But if they see love and they see kindness and they see the goodness of God, they're going to come back. Our goal is to get this word in their heart, in their mind, in their spirit, and to show that God can and God will heal us. All we got to do is ask. And God we'll do it. Isn't that what the word tells us in John 14:14? That whatever we ask from the Lord, that he will do it? Come on. And I love it. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Our title for today. A wealthy woman was objected to being saved in the same way as our poor servant. Come on now. Who do we think we are? Who do we think we are? That we can't be saved. We are all equal in the sight of God. The rich, the poor, whatever your nationality is, whatever the melanin in your skin is, you are the same to God. And I love this word. It says, a wealthy woman was objected to being saved in the same way as her poor servant. You do not have to be saved at all, came the reply. But if you ever are saved, it will be in the same way as everyone else. Bam, Dr. Stanley did twice. You know, I don't want to be saved like, well, that's my saving. I don't want to be saved like her. I don't want to be like him. You know, they're not like us. Foolishness and not of God. And we will be held accountable for how we treat the least among God's children. We will be held accountable. Well, they don't smell good. Well, they don't look good. I don't know. It's just salvation is salvation. And who do we think we are that we tell God what we will and won't do? Come on now. Who do we think we are that we think we're better than anybody else when it comes to salvation? We are all God's children. And I love this, the tradition of works. It's as though we know that salvation is by grace through faith. We all tend to do something to earn our salvation. This was especially true to some of the Christian Jews in the early church. After centuries of observing the covenant of circumcision, many of them didn't believe they could give it up. These people were called Judaizers, and they said, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Though they agreed that salvation was through Jesus Christ, they said that a person was also required to keep the law in order to attain salvation. It was their tradition, handed down from their forefathers throughout the ages, and they couldn't let it go. Of course, it was also a violation of everything that the apostles had been teaching, especially to the new Gentile believers. They recognized that keeping the law would be terribly difficult for the Gentile Christians who were unaccustomed to Jewish practices. Therefore, the elders decided to call a meeting to discuss the dispute. This was the beginning of what was called the Jerusalem Council, which was the first conference held by the early church. Peter explained that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Peter was not setting aside the law. Rather, he was saying that the law was a yoke that revealed their need for a Savior. Although circumcision has been an outward sign of devotion to God, it was never enough for salvation. Only faith in Jesus Christ could truly purify their hearts. Are you used to working your way through life? Did you have to earn your parents' love or others' acceptance? Are you accustomed to being judged by how you perform, like the Judaizers? Those past experiences and traditions may be clouding your understanding of how to relate to Christ. Instead of circumcising your flesh with outward signs, Christ circumcises your heart and spirit, making you holy from the inside out. Hallelujah. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have been set free from sin. Your sin debt has been paid completely. Salvation is no longer an issue. You can't increase or lose about what you do. You don't have to work your way to salvation. Christ has given it to you freely. You don't have to earn God's love. He loves you unconditionally. And you won't be judged by your performance. Rather, what God cares about is your obedience and faith. Sometimes this is a difficult truth to get used to, but it is immensely important that you embrace it, because it will set you free to serve God out of love and trust. Understand, once and for all, God is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. It is the gift of God, 8 and 9. Therefore, let go of those old powerless traditions and hold on to Christ. Stop working and start enjoying the freedom God's love gives you. You know, I say it every day, got to go to work. But that is a work of love for God. I don't go to work for money. I go to work for God because I love God, and it's my free gift to him. And I know that he loves me like that, and that he cares for me, and that he wants the best for me. That's the God I love. And I go to work not because I have to, not because it's required to be loved by him, but because it's my gift. Because the harvest is plenty and the laborers are few. And I want to be one of the laborers in the vineyard of the Lord. Acts chapter 15, verse 22, when it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men from their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. They wrote this letter by them, elders and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria and Sicilia. Greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised to keep the law, to whom we give no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from the things offered from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. When they had read it, they rejoiced over the encouragement. Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a little time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord. See how they are doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take him with them, the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Sicilia, strengthening the church. And it goes on to give us a life lesson from this. You know, that sometimes we can get in, as they say, get in our feelings. You know, and Paul got in his feelings. He got in his feelings because Simon may not have been your assignment. What Mark had to do may not have been what you had to do. And who are you to tell God who should do what? And that is where we get our contentions sometimes in the church. Y'all know, well, Sister Susie, she always wanted to do this, that, and the other. And she don't ever want this, that, or the other. And so you start getting upset. Well, you know what? Sister Jeannie, she'll never help with anything. But here she come on the day of the event, acting like she been doing all the work and she ain't done nothing. But yeah, here she come. you know, bringing all her little decorations and all that stuff, like she's been doing stuff with us all the time and then want to put all that stuff out. Well, it does look pretty, but still. But did you ever stop to think that maybe her assignment was decoration and that maybe she was doing her assignment the way she did it, which may be alone, and then she put it where it needed to go on the day it needed to go there, and that it looked pretty because that was her assignment? But because she wasn't trying to be seen, she was just doing the work God called her to do. And that's what we got to understand. That sometimes there are folks that they're not doing the work because they want somebody to know that they did it all. They're doing the work that they do because that's their assignment. And they do it best alone. Some people do some things better by themselves because they're they have a creative mind and they have a vision. And it's easier to get the vision done than to get the to have a whole bunch of people getting in the way of the vision God gave you, because they may have another vision than the one that was given to you. So you got to do what you're supposed to do. And don't get mad. Don't get mad because somebody set up the program and you didn't have anything to say about it, because it was not your vision. It was theirs. In Acts 15:28, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. The early church reached consensus on a critical and sticky issue through respectful discussion, earnest prayer, careful listening, and Bible study. The same formula holds true today. And again, when there's a situation going on in the church, it should be done respectfully discussed. And prayer should go forth. And we should listen. And then we should work with the word of God. Those four things will keep confusion out of the body. And as we continue in this word, said Dr. 39, the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. Even mature, godly believers can have big disagreements that lead to a parting of the ways. Yet God used the split between Paul and Barnabas to send out two missionary teams instead of one. You know, we have people that leave churches and start their own, because it is their assignment. God will have a whole bunch of people together in one congregation. Prophets, teachers, evangelists, missionaries, elders, pastors, the ministry. And then something may happen, contention, because God is wanting to pull out. But you're trying to hold on. You're holding on for dear life. I don't want to go, Lord. I don't want to go. And then God says, but I got an assignment for you. And you're going to have to leave the comfort of where you are to do what I need you to do. And it's hard. It happened to me approximately 12 years ago, fine, where I was. Happy as a little lark, doing what I did. But God called me someplace else to do something else. And for 10 years, I did the assignment that I was called to do. And then God said, okay, now I got to put you back in your other calling, because that is your calling also. You've done what I asked you to do. You've established what I needed you to establish. And now I got more work for you to do. We can't get upset because we feel like something we've done is good from us, because everything is for a purpose and for a reason. And we have to remember that. Everything is for a purpose and a reason. And it says this yesterday. You heard about the Jerusalem Council, where the apostles defended new believers against those who were enslaved them again to work. The council authored letters to the churches, asserting that they should not listen to the Judaizers, who insisted that believers should live by all of the Jewish laws. The council wrote, since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we have no such commandment. It seems good to us being assembled with one accord, and that is that word, one accord, to send chosen men to you. Those men went and taught the Paul was among those men, and he did something very wise. He said, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. He realized that the Judaizers and other groups would not stop trying to spread their destructive views, and he wanted to make sure that the churches they planted were all honoring Christ. Understand that we also have a responsibility toward those we lead to the Lord. We must make sure they have what they need to follow the Lord in obedience, though we can't always be the ones who daily teach them to walk with Christ. We should be concerned for their welfare as Paul was. Paul wrote, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you, I would like to present with you. Now, Paul was involved in their spiritual growth. Even though he couldn't be present with them in person, whether he made sure they had everything they needed through his letters, which now comprise half of the New Testament, and through the compatible godly representatives he sent to check on them. What about those you've led to the Lord? When was the last time you checked to make sure that they weren't being led away by false doctrine, but were serving the Lord in love and obedience? It may not always be possible to be with them, but as much as you're able, keep track of those you've introduced to the Savior. No doubt you'll be blessed by the way they grow in the Lord. And again, as we get ready to wrap up, for those that must leave right away, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. But for those that can stay for a few more minutes, I just have a few words from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, that I need to share with you this morning. And the word that I need to share is this. What somebody says about you doesn't determine your destiny. God does. When you are ready to move up in life, you have to let go of everything that keeps bringing you down. Trust God to give you strength. And our word for this morning is my favorite scripture. And I know this word is for me. Have I not commanded you? And you got to add your name. Bridget, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. And that is our word for today. We have had a fantastic Friday. We have had a super Saturday. And we're going to have a blessed Sunday. Thank you, Sister Carolyn, for your mighty words for this weekend. We thank in God. We'll uphold in the name of Jesus. And we know that all things are going to work for our good. Have a blessed day, family. Thank you again. I can't say it enough. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your prayers. I appreciate them. And I thank you. And I pray for you as you pray for me, that God heals whatever is going on with you, and that by his free and filled with the Holy Ghost. But we believe, and this is our declaration today, I declare, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. We are saved. I declare and decree, we are saved through our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us, who has given us grace. In his name, we look up, lift up, giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of our strength and the strength of our life. Have a blessed day, family. I appreciate you. I love you. Please join me again tomorrow morning as we move forward in the Word of God, thanking him for his great word, thanking him for his love, thanking him for answered prayer. in Jesus' name. I lift up each of you, asking the Lord Jesus to cover you with from the crowns of your head to the soles of your feet with his love, with his grace, with his mercy, with his goodness, with his kindness, with the joy of the Lord that is your strength. In him we give honor, we give glory, and we give praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for another day. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming in, taking over, leading and guiding us in our word today. And it's in your names we pray. Amen. Have a great and blessed day, family. If you do not have a church, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church home and watch God work in your life. Have a great day. It is a wrap. Feeling better because prayer changes all kind of things. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap because I got to go to church. Amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I love you. And God bless you. Now it is officially my fourth and final closing. It's a wrap. Have a great day.